You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into a new episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. Ben DuBose, your normal host, is out this week, so filling in for him, I'm Chris Gordy. Alongside of me is Ross Villarreal. Quickly, some background info on us. We both work with Sports Talk 790, flagship home of your Houston Rockets. Many of you have probably heard us through the years, hosting Rockets pre- and post-game shows on 790. I even got the chance to fill in a few times the past 2 years for Adam Clanton on the network show for a few games. So we have been following and covering the Rockets for many years. And, of course, Ben does a great job covering the Rockets for us in 790. So hopefully we can carry the torch for Ben this week and not miss a beat as far as this podcast goes. Today on the show, a bunch of topics we're going to hit on, including we got some clarity finally on the Corey Brewer situation. We saw Daryl Morey posting a photo last week with Corey Brewer, with the caption, "Brewing something up with Corey Brewer." So we'll get to that a little bit later. But first, Ross, the big news, the surprise news that surfaced at least to Rockets fans on Sunday evening was confirmed by the team today that associate head coach Jeff Bezdelic is retiring. Adrian Wojnarowski was the first to tweet last night. He said, "In a blow to the Houston Rockets, associate head coach Jeff Bezdelic, architect of the franchise's rejuvenated defense, has informed the team he is retiring." League sources tell ESPN Bezdelic, who's 65, was a head coach with the Nuggets and Colorado Air Force and Wake Forest in college. Bezdelic's departure so close to the start of training camp means his responsibilities will likely be spread over Mike D'Antoni's staff, with assistant Roy Rogers undoubtedly taking on a greater role with the defense. Now, if you remember, a report surfaced last Thursday that former Vipers coach Matt Braze is joining D'Antoni's staff. So this sounds like they kind of knew this was coming, but Jonathan Fagan putting out there today from the Houston Chronicle, most importantly, Bezdelic's health is fine. It's nothing like that. This is really just one of those, he wants to spend more time with his family after many years on the NBA treadmill, had been weighing a decision throughout the summer and finally reached a conclusion this past weekend. Roy Rogers is more likely to be in front running the defense now, but Matt Braze will likely pick up some of Bezdelic's duties, especially in game preparation. Jeff Bezdelic said, quote, "Making this decision has been extremely difficult. I truly love the game of basketball, but after 42 years of coaching, I would like to dedicate more of my time to my family, friends, and other interests. I'm very grateful to many people who have made this journey so fulfilling." So, Ross, on the surface, Jeff Bezdelic leaving the Rockets feels like it may hurt them, at least in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that. But first, I think it's bizarre that the timing of this seems kind of weird. Like you said, the final decision just happening this weekend kind of leaves the Rockets somewhat a little bit high and dry. I just think it.
We are a week from training camp.
Yeah, and you're 2 weeks from your first preseason game.
A month from your season opener.
Yeah, and this is when you decide, look, I don't know really much about Jeff Bezdelic. I'm not going to act like I know anything about his life and what he's doing. And he's 65 years old. I guess he wants to hang him up. But I just think the timing sucks a little bit for the Rockets. Not like it's going to really smear Bezdelic's career or anything like that, but it's just unfortunate for the Rockets. But on the basketball side, I mean, obviously, a big jump in the Rockets' defense from year to year having Jeff Bezdelic, and you don't know. Obviously, you don't know how much it was him, how much of it was personnel improvements.
Yeah, let me run through the points real quick. Points allowed per season, 2016-2017, Jeff Bezdelic's first season with the team, they gave up 109 points per game. They ranked 26th in the NBA in points per game. Last season, that improved to 103 a game, and that was sixth best in the NBA. But let's take some things into consideration here. Going from 2016-17 to 2017-2018, you improved giving up 6 points less per game. That's a big jump in terms of the NBA. But that was before the additions of Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, and Luke Bamute, who obviously were huge defensive pieces added to last year. in that 2016-17 season, you were playing Ryan Anderson heavy minutes. Down the stretch, Lou Williams was playing a lot of minutes. So basically, Ariza and Beverly were your only defenders on that team that year. So you made huge personnel upgrades last year in terms of defense. So really, you kind of have to go back and forth here. How much last year was Jeff Bezdelic's system finally, you know, taking place, his game planning each week defensively for different teams and things like that? And how much was it, oh, we got, you know, all-defensive NBA player in Chris Paul, really good defensive supporting cast in P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute. You know, you still had Trevor Ariza last year, obviously. Clint Capella's game took a step forward defensively. So I think it could be a combination of both.
I think the NBA is one of the sports, as far as the big three or four sports or whatever you want to call it, where coaching isn't nearly as important as talent. Now, that doesn't mean coaching doesn't matter, but I think what you have on the roster is more important than anything that you're going to have from a coaching staff. Look no further than Mike D'Antoni. Where, how did things work out for him with the Knicks? How did it work out with the Lakers? And then, oh, you come to the Rockets and you get MVP candidate in, or now in reigning MVP in James Harden. You get a lot of shooters surrounding on the roster with Daryl Morey building the roster the right way. And then all of a sudden, Mike D'Antoni is back in vogue as one of the smartest coaches in the NBA.
Right.
And so I think that that's the same thing to be said for defense. Now, that doesn't seem mean to say that schemes don't matter, that scouting reports don't matter, that philosophies don't matter. But I think from coaching staff to coaching staff in the NBA, I think you're going to have a lot of smart guys. I don't really know about Roy Rogers and the other guys that are going to be filling in on the staff, but I'm going to guess they're pretty smart and they know their stuff. And if they have the right tools to work with, which I think they do with this roster with the Houston Rockets, I think the defense will be fine.
Let's not forget, Roy Rogers came in the same time as Jeff Bezdelic and joined Mike D'Antoni's staff. And, you know, they've all been in the meeting rooms together. Roy Rogers is no stranger to how Jeff Bezdelic
sounds like a sitcom star from the 1970s, by the way.
Roy Rogers, well, yeah. But no, I mean, Roy's been around a while and obviously, you know, was part of everything that happened the last couple seasons and knows what Bezdelic would do and that sort of thing. So, again, we're going to see here how much of a difference it makes. But again, the fact that I'm still going to have Chris Paul on the court every night, I'm still going to have P.J. Tucker.
James Ennis.
I'm still going to have, I get an upgrade in James Ennis.
Clint Capella.
Yeah, it's just, we're going to find out real quick how important Jeff Bezdelic was. And again, we don't want to diminish it and say it won't hurt them. It very well could. Right. But like I've been saying all offseason, you made an upgrade offensively, at least with a player of the caliber of Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, if all holds true to how they'd like to use him is bringing him off the bench with Eric Gordon, my God, are there a better two-man tandem offensively to bring off the bench than Eric Gordon and Carmelo Anthony? Like, again, you may take a step back defensively, sure, with the loss of Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, who some in the national media want you to believe were top 10 players. You know, like, I can't buy the Rockets. They lost Trevor Ariza. Like, my God, okay, he wasn't that important. The guy went 0-for-12 in Game 7, no offense. But
was it 15-1, the record that the Rockets fans always cite, without Trevor Ariza they were last year, something like that? I think that might not be completely accurate, but they had a pretty good record without Trevor Ariza last year, which is not to say they're not going to miss him, but I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, what was the point I was trying to make in this? I think they're going to score more points this year,
so
too.
You think it's a net
win. So it'll
kind
of offset. Right, yeah, right. I mean, what I look is differential. You know, are you 5-6 points better offensively than points you give up? You know,
I mean, James Harden to me is the perfect example of that. He's an MVP.
Yeah, for everybody who wants to criticize his defense. And by the way, he was much better throughout many moments last year. He gave more of an effort. But again, when you give me 35, 38 points,
yes.
I don't care if you slacked a couple times on defense. You're exerting yourself way more.
Overall, James Harden is a huge net positive, and you're hoping that Carmelo Anthony, obviously not going to have the same impact, but a net positive with what he's going to give you on the offense, with what he's able to do from a catch-and-shoot three perspective, where he's a pretty good shooter that way, and just the way that he can open up the floor. I mean, if you have Ryan Anderson on the wing for three, and you have Carmelo Anthony on the wing for three, and they get chased down, and then they have to put the ball on the floor and get to the basket, I trust, obviously, Carmelo Anthony a lot more in that situation, whereas Ryan Anderson is just going to throw up about six pump fakes and try to Dirk step or draw a foul. That's basically his only move outside of a three-pointer. You have more versatility with Carmelo Anthony. I think that's definitely going to help the offense.
I want to go back to June 2016 when the Rockets hired Jeff Bezdelic. These were some of the quotes when they talked about him. Daryl Morey said, "It stood out to us. He had so much head coaching experience, that level of experience and gravitas really helps when you're explaining the battle plan. Second, the coaching tree he comes from is second to none. There was a lot of respect for being the primary guy with the Memphis defense. One of the least discussed plots was the fact that head coach Mike D'Antoni willingly accepted a, quote, defensive coordinator with the addition of Jeff Bezdelic. D'Antoni brought the glitz, the glamour, and the stats to Houston, while Bezdelic helped keep the team from having a one-track mind. D'Antoni said recently on the NBA A to Z podcast, players hear one voice offensively and one voice defensively." And again, no one's saying that Roy Rogers can't be that defensive voice now and that they can't make that a clean transition and he just takes over and it's the same game plan and, hey, here's what we're doing tonight defensively, here's the effort we want, here's where we want guys. And so, again, time's going to tell. We're going to find out, you know, how big of the loss is to the Rockets, but, again, we like the pieces that they've brought in. Again, you keep Chris Paul and P.J. Tucker and Clint Capella, three of your most important defensive pieces. Again, the loss of Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute, we're going to find out how much the drop-off is. And you bring in James Ennis, who we know is one of the better defensive pieces out there in terms of free agency and guys you could afford and bring in. What's that drop-off from Ariza to Ennis? So, you know, we're going to find out here in the next couple weeks. The season is nearly upon us, but that is the news of the day, is Jeff Bezdelic officially retiring. And Mike D'Antoni, his quote, said, "I want to thank Jeff for his dedication towards helping make our two seasons in Houston so successful and congratulate him on a terrific career. He's a true professional and a great teacher of the game. I wish Jeff and his lovely wife, Nina, the best in their next phase of life." So like we said, with the hiring of Matt Braze last Thursday, bringing him up to the staff, it just seems like this move was in the works for a while. I'm sure maybe they even told Matt at the end of the season, "Hey, look, Jeff's thinking about maybe retiring, or maybe an opportunity where we bring you up. Just hang tight. We'll know come September." And so the move was made. And I'm sure Roy as well. "Hey, Roy, we need you to start focusing on, you know, just defensive stuff and all this." And so I'm sure that the transition's kind of been in the works behind closed doors until they got the firm answer on what was going to happen with Jeff Bezdelic. But again, Rockets defense much more improved last year, points allowed much better, but we will see what it means to the Rockets. So bring us all back, Ross. Are you concerned about the Rockets defense, at least going into the start of the season?
I'm concerned about it, but I'm not concerned about it because Jeff Bezdelic is leaving. Not as much. Like I said, it'd be nice to have him, but I mean, if the Rockets defense is a disaster, I don't think it's going to be because Jeff Bezdelic is that much more of an upgrade over a Roy Rogers. I think it's going to be because of personnel. It's going to be because of communication and chemistry and those types of things.
All right, you are listening to the Locked On Rockets podcast. Chris Gordy and Ross Villarreal from Sports Talk 790 filling in for Ben DuBose today. Ross, I wanted to transition over into the Corey Brewer story. I don't know if you saw this last week.
Yeah, I did.
It's not even a story, but on Instagram and Facebook, Daryl Morey posted a picture of he and Corey Brewer, and the caption read, it said, "Brewing something up with Corey Brewer." And so a lot of people assume, oh my God, what does this mean? Are we signing Corey Brewer? Is he coming?
I was worried they were going to sign
him. Is he joining the team?
I was scared.
Well, Jonathan Fagan from the Houston Chronicle finally put that to sleep today. He said, somebody tweeted at him, said, "Jonathan, any news about a possible signing of Corey Brewer? He would bring experience, decent defense, knows the organization, be a solid addition." Jonathan Fagan responded, "The Rockets are not signing Corey Brewer. He was working out in their facility, so Morey and others were understandably happy to see him again."
The comment, all the positive things. What, read through those positive things about Corey Brewer again? He knows the organization.
Knows the organization, has experience.
Yes, he
decent
has,
defense.
He has bounced a basketball before.
He actually said decent defense and shoot. So he didn't even say
he
shooting.
Shoots. He doesn't make it, but he shoots him. It's like, okay, he can find the arena. He knows where Toyota Center is.
Right.
He can give you good directions. That's basically the best qualities that Corey Brewer would bring to this Rockets
team. One of
the
nicest guys you will ever meet.
Love Corey Brewer as a person.
Had him on for several interviews. Had him on at Media Day. I used to give him crap because he was part of that Florida team that took out my LSU team back in 06 that got to the Final Four. But
screw that
team. They actually didn't take him out. They would have taken him out in the championship game. Jordan Farmar and UCLA took him out in the Final Four. But we lost to them twice that year and couldn't beat that team. And by the way, they went on to win one but two straight national championships. Not bad. And half those guys were still in the NBA. Like, what was that? Oh, 2006, like 12, 13 years later, those guys were still in the league. But anyway, so there you go. We could put it to rest. Corey Brewer will not be a Houston Rocket, at least for the start of the season. Maybe by the trade deadline, they work something out. But so there's that. The other news of the day, Sixers ownership group had dinner last night with Utah Jazz assistant GM Justin Zanuck on Sunday for their vacant GM job, and they are scheduled to have dinner tonight with Rockets Vice President Gerson Rosas, according to sources. The Philadelphia GM search will continue. The Sixers are still considering internal candidates as well. Gerson Rosas, of course, is the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Rockets. He has been with the organization 16-plus years. He assists Daryl Morey in all basketball operations of the franchise, continues to be responsible for the team's player personnel matters, and perhaps my favorite highlight, when he took the Mavericks GM job a couple years ago, and it lasted about 2 weeks, because he said, hey, if I'm going to run this thing, I need full control. And Mark Cuban said, no, I get to make final decisions. He said, well, if you don't give me more control, I'm just going to leave. And they're like, okay. And
bye.
So he left and came back to the Houston Rockets. So, but he got paid. He got a big payday from that. But Gerson Rosas, obviously, look, when you're part of a successful front office for a long time and successful in building teams and never having to hit the reset button, you're going to garner a lot of interest. And obviously the Sixers are looking anywhere they can right now to get a little bit more stability in that front office. And so obviously Gerson Rosas garnering some interest there.
Yeah, so this is not the first time that somebody's going to or will be, if it happens, or get interviewed. It's happened with guys under Daryl Morey here, and that's, like you said, it's a testament to the success. It's a testament to Daryl Morey and the Rockets and what they've been able to do, and just not necessarily revolutionizing NBA basketball, but I mean, Daryl Morey's not going to surround himself with stupid people. So it's pretty natural. I mean, we see it with other organizations, and you can just go across sports, and like Jeff Luhnow getting hired from the Cardinals because they're so successful. Every assistant with the Patriots of the last decade getting a shot as a head coach. It's going to happen, and you just take it as a compliment to the organization. And yeah, you are going to miss out on some guys you would like to have Gerson Rosas continue to be here because he's comfortable. If he wants to go ahead and spread his wings, that's fine. But just a testament to what Daryl Morey is able to do and the success that the Rockets have been having.
Now, you brought it up earlier. I want you to talk about it here on the podcast. You got a question from somebody on Twitter today.
That's funny because we were talking about Daryl Morey and how good he's been doing, and you have Gerson Rosas getting possibly hired away. And I literally got this. This is the most bizarre. I have my DMs open on Twitter at SportsRV just because I get questions from listeners or people say, give me suggestions or whatever, or ask if what's going on with this podcast.
Ross
or this
loves
webpage.
Fantasy football questions too. If you want to get those,
I'll take those actually. That's fine. Anybody wants to talk to me, it's okay. But anyways, I got this very random one today, or actually people were also telling me to go die in a fire after my Manu Ginobili tweet I was talking about him.
That was epic, by the way.
Career.
I think if you're a Rockets fan, you didn't see that tweet or like it, you need to go do that now.
But anyways, that's
anything to diminish a Spur.
That's another
story. Did great things
for another day. But this is the DM I got today. Daryl Morey has been the Houston Rockets GM since 2007. Never been to an NBA championship game and only two Western Conference Finals. How does he keep his job? I'll go ahead and let you answer that, Chris.
Well,
how does Daryl Morey, reigning NBA Executive of the Year, with the reigning MVP who he fleeced from the Oklahoma City Thunder, how does he keep his job?
Well, let's just go back to 2007, right? In that time, there have been, what, only a handful of teams that have won
titles? Probably five or six, and that's if you count Cleveland and Miami with LeBron.
Let's break it down. Spurs, 07-14, right? Mm-hmm. Lakers.
Hold on, let me do this.
09-2010.
Hold on, I want to try to do this.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, 7 was Spurs, 8 was Celtics, 9-10 was Lakers, 11 was Mavericks, mm-hmm. 12-13 was Heat,
yes,
14 was Spurs, 15 was
Dubs.
Warriors.
Yep.
Then Warriors, 16.
Come on, it's been the same two teams.
16 Cavs, yes. 17 Warriors, 18 Warriors.
So basically, you could see there's a trend. The team that had LeBron James won 3 of these. The team that had Steph Curry won 3 of these.
Yeah.
The team that had Kobe won 2. The team that had the Spurs, Tim Duncan won two. And basically the Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks just had outstanding one-off years. They reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, I mean, that was the big three that they had. It's the champion. Holding it a team to championship or bust is short-sighted.
There'd be nobody
stupid.
Holding their jobs across the NBA. It's an impossible standard in the NBA to hold somebody to. In the NFL, sometimes you get lucky. If you can get that top seed in the NFL playoffs and you get home field advantage, you can absolutely make a run.
Or you can get hot as a 6 seed like the Giants did, the Packers did. I mean, it happens.
It sucks for Daryl that he's had to be the GM in this current landscape of LeBron dominance, Laker dominance for several years, although that was on the back end of that. And now Warriors dominance building up that team. It's hard to crack the door open there and get in there.
It's hard to crack it up without a lottery pick,
without a top 10 pick, and
with an owner who insists there is not to be tanking, there is not to be losing. We are chasing a championship every single year, no matter what.
And holds that standard. It's not like some of these other teams, like the football team in this town, that may be okay with mediocrity because they're going, you know what, we're making a lot of money. We're okay if we never play for a championship.
Right.
The Houston Rockets absolutely want to play for a championship, and Daryl Morey's doing his best. And my God, did they come oh so close last year?
If Chris Paul's healthy for Game 6 and 7, the Rockets are NBA champions. I fully
and
believe
I've
that
heard
in my
people,
heart.
I've heard people try to dog that argument, and you're just a hater if you don't. If you can't absolutely see that the Rockets outplayed the Warriors in several games of that series last year, and it surprised all. You know, I think a lot of us, even the most staunch of Rocket supporters, you couldn't believe what they were doing in some of those games against the Warriors. So. Look, they got so close, knocking on the door. Feel like this could be the year. I know the Warriors added Boogie Cousins, and we'll see what happens with him coming off the Achilles injury, but it feels like they're ever so close. And this year, hey, look, man, lock and load.
According to this guy who DM'd me, that Daryl Morey needs to be replaced. And also, when you think about these things, like, I want this guy fired, I want that guy fired, as a sports fan, you have to think to yourself, would somebody in the exact same situation done better? And I don't know how many. There's probably a couple people on the planet, if that, who would have had the same amount of success that Daryl Morey has had under these same circumstances.
No, it's been incredible what he's been able to do with building assets and getting to this team where they are, to have two superstar players in Chris Paul, James Harden, and oh, by the way,
they're
another
going
guy
to the Hall of Fame
by the name of Carmelo Anthony, who may be a factor on this team. Bigger than some people are thinking.
You have two Hall of Famers on this team that were not drafted by the Rockets.
Correct.
How often does that happen?
Right. You gotta win the free agency game, and they've been doing that as
the trade game. You have to get lucky too. I mean, it's just.
Let's hit on a couple quick hitters here before we call things off for the day. According to Kelly Iko of The Athletic, the Rockets, quote, don't want to overextend Chris Paul this season. CP3 turned 33. Back in May, signed a 4-year, $160 million deal in the offseason. He played in 58 of 61 games over the past two seasons due to injury. The Rockets added Brandon Knight. They could look to reduce Paul's workload with some maintenance days mixed in to keep him healthy in the postseason. He still considered an elite point guard, but they may give him a rest year. And I said this in the offseason.
No breaking news or no.
I would not be surprised if once every 2 weeks Chris Paul gets a night off.
Yeah, I think that's not like any sort of...
I know the NBA is trying to make rules against that and resting guys and all
Is another argument for another day.
But, hey, Chris Paul, man, I really got this wrist thing that's really just bugging me. I got to sit out tonight. You know, I mean, I would not be surprised. They manage him, Carmelo, and James Harden manage their minutes this year to keep them all fresh come postseason.
Well, I mean, they're going to try to manage as much as they can with James, who doesn't like to be managed like that. Right. He likes to be out there for 48 minutes every game. But on the Chris Paul front, yeah, we're going to see. I think what we saw last year is anytime – look, he's going to go. He's going to get injured at some point. He's going to turn an ankle. He's going to strain a hamstring. He's going to do something because he's Chris Paul. That's what he does. They're going to treat it with kid gloves. They're going to give him off days as much as they can. They're just going to want him ready for the playoffs. And that's what they did last year. And it worked to a T until two games left in the Western Conference. And that's unfortunate. That's not what you want to see. And I'm totally on board 100% with the Rockets treating Chris Paul basically as an asset that they're just waiting and biding their time to have him in the playoffs. Because we know that the Rockets will have enough without him to compete in the regular season and stay afloat and be a top Western Conference team. But to get to that championship next level, they're going to need Chris Paul.
All right, a couple other quick hitters. James Ennis said last week that Coach Mike D'Antoni told him he should, quote, shoot as many threes as possible. He said, Coach D'Antoni told me in the meeting that if I don't shoot double or have a career year in three-point attempts, then he's going to bench me. Looking at the stats, that does not set a very high bar after Ennis attempted a career-high 153 threes last year. But even if he did double that, that would put him 86th in the league to be Jaylen Brown's around 306, which is what Jaylen Brown's shot last year. Regardless, the Rockets are going to need Ennis to fill minutes, so he's on the radar. Possibly, look, we haven't heard officially from the Rockets, but I would think you probably start him at the three, Tucker at the four, if they are indeed going to bring Carmelo off the bench, which is what we've kind of heard ever since they signed Melo.
Yeah, and even if you're not, even if Melo's insisting on some sort of starting role, you start him for like the first 3-4 minutes, and then he hits the bench for James Ennis or for Tucker or whoever. It doesn't matter.
But I love the thought that Ennis, like, hey, if you're going to play, you need to be shooting threes.
That's the exact quote that Grant Hill talked about when he was with the Phoenix Suns and Mike D'Antoni was there. I think Grant Hill told him, I can't remember the number, he said, hey, D'Antoni told him, if you don't shoot 10 threes today, I'm going to bench you. And that's just how D'Antoni rolls. And I mean, you love it. That's what we love here in Houston. We love Rocket Ball. We love Morey Ball. We love the three ball.
Look, I keep saying, for anybody critical of, you had to let Trevor Ariza go because of what Phoenix was giving him. You just couldn't match that. It was impossible to give him what he was getting from Phoenix. And if you're Trevor, you got to go take that money. You'd be stupid not to. But to think, and again, I don't want to be, I love Trevor Ariza in his time in Houston. He was tremendous and all that. But Trevor didn't hit a shot in the game 7. When everyone went cold from the field, he went absolutely arctic. And in my mind, a Carmelo Anthony will not go 0 for 12 in a game. Melo's going to hit some shots. Melo's going to get some points somehow, somewhere. And so again, I look at it from that standpoint of, sure, you lose something defensively with Ariza, but if you pick up something offensively, and somebody can hit the shots, even more firepower for this team.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Ariza was, and it's not like Trevor Ariza was erasing people off the court like Kawhi Leonard in his prime or something like that. It's just he was kind of like the quarterback of the defense. He was a glue guy, but it's not like, and he had length and he was smart. He was good at playing passing lanes, but he got blown by a lot. He was in the wrong positions a lot. He hurt them on offense a lot. So, I mean, missing Trevor Ariza is probably a negative.
Shot 28% from three in the postseason last year. My challenge to both Melo and James Ennis would be,
please
shoot
better
than that. That would
be
my challenge. And the last tidbit for today's show, according to Shams of The Athletic now and the stadium, the Suns, Phoenix Suns, are targeting Patrick Beverley of the Clippers. Shams added that Beverley is on the top of their list because they believe he'll be an ideal fit next to Devin Booker. Sounds like LA's asking price would be a major roadblock, but we know Phoenix traded Brandon Knight. They got a lot of young guards. They want to bring in a veteran guy to be their starter. What do you think of Patrick Beverley maybe moving to the Suns?
Okay.
No reaction.
I mean, it's...
Are they trying to just rebuild the Rockets?
How is Patrick Beverley on the top target list for anybody? Look, I love Pat and what he brought and first team all defense and all that type of stuff, but, I mean, kind of... a very improved offensively from what he was earlier in his career,
sure,
but still kind of limited, and still I'll put him in a very similar category to Trevor Ariza. You love his energy, you love the fire and the passion that he plays with, but not necessarily erasing folks off the court.
So basically, at one point on the court, this could be for their starting five. Patrick Beverley at the one, Troy Daniels at the two,
oh, no,
Trevor Ariza at the three, and Ryan Anderson at the four. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like rebuilding the entire... They're like, it worked for the Rockets. Let's just do it and build those guys around Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton.
Well, when you have a GM in Daryl Morey who just trades, play, and signs players and gets rid of them and cuts them and all this stuff, this seems like the huge roster turnover every single year. Basically, every team the Rockets go up against has like two or three former Rockets, it seems like.
It feels like that. With that, we will wrap up today's show. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Chris Gordy. He is at SportsRV, Ross Villarreal. You can catch all the content from this podcast at Locked On Rockets on Twitter and at LockedOnRockets.com. And, of course, subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Leave a 5-star review for Ben. Tell him how much you love hearing year-round Rockets content. For now, we will catch up with you guys a little bit later in the week. Enjoy your week as we are 2 weeks away from preseason basketball, 1 week away from training camp and media day, and we are almost into another Rocket season.